Father Chicara. My beloved people, Father told you who I was, so there's no need in me telling you again. And you honor me greatly, really, by allowing me to stand in this place right now, today. I am honored and delighted. And by the grace of God, let it be for the sake of peace. And as we come here this evening to put the Blessed Sacrament up on high, we must only, we can only speak to it in the words of peace. We start with the Holy Catechism, as always, really. And we have to ask the question that is asked our little children. Why did God make me? And the answer is, God made me to know him and to love him and to serve him and to be with him for all eternity. That's what the book says. That's what we teach our children to say. That's what we were taught to say once upon a time. And in the process of saying this, we must come to the understanding that there are certain questions in life that absolutely have to be attended to. We cannot avoid these questions. Even the pagans ask these questions. Every man has asked these questions since the day of Adam. And we ask them yet. And our children are asking them. Even our heathen children are asking them. They have to know. They don't always come up with the right answer, but they have to know. And when they come up with the wrong answer, then there's trouble. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going? My beloved people, there is no way that you can put these questions aside. Where did I come from? And what am I doing here? We read a lot about these in books. We study about these perhaps in books. And we're preached to about these by our priests. I think sometimes though in all of this that we go home and we do not have a proper understanding of what it's all about. We know a lot. We know all of the answers. We discuss these. In too many cases, we simply do not know what we're talking about. Because if we did, any of us, myself, I put myself in front of the firing squad. Because if we knew what we were talking about, I think our lives would be different. They would have to be. We become too much attached to things, external things, externalisms. And we forget why we're doing these things. The only reason why we do anything as Catholic people is because of that which is on that altar. Once upon a time, we spoke of the city of God. We do not speak of that city too much anymore. We speak of the city of man. And what a mess we've made of the city of man. And what a mess we've made of where are all of our other brothers and sisters? What has happened to them? Where did they get out of the city of God? And what caused them to get out of that city? And what caused you and me and your holy fathers who serve you so well? And there are countless, there are many others. They're not countless anymore. But there are others, priests of God, wherever they may be, whether in Alabama, in the monastery, or whether here in this church, or whether in Washington, where we have a place that is called Mount St. Michael's, wherever you go, the society, wherever you go, my beloved people, the same oil. Anything but peace, because the same identical oil that touched these hands has touched the hands of others. There is one God and one priesthood. And we have to acknowledge that from the bottom of our hearts. A moment ago, I said to you that we know a lot of things, but we don't understand them. You and I are here to do one thing and one thing alone. We're not here to become rich. We're not here to become powerful. We're not here to become well known. We're not here to become anything that this world has to offer. We are not here to rearrange the pebbles of this earth. Why? why did God make me? The city of God demands that we be spiritual people. And what is spirituality? Adam and Eve, once upon a time, decided that the apple was more beautiful than the face of God. Did they do this because they didn't like God? No, they loved God. They loved him very much. It just so happens that they loved the apple more. So what did they do? They turned away from the face of God. They turned, my beloved people. They turned away from the face of God, and they turned toward the apple. They didn't hate God. Do you hate God? Do I hate God when we commit sin? Is there hatred in our hearts for God when we commit sin? We, like Adam and Eve, turn away from God and turn toward our sin. So, what do we have to do about that? Our back is to the Lord, our back is to God. We simply have to turn back to God. And that can only be done by prayer, penance, and a deep spiritual life, which comes from the heart. It's not a matter of saying, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to confession. Give me five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys." Can five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys overcome the harm of one single solitary mortal sin, which is in every way equal to the sin of Adam, which has brought all of the destruction that we can write about in books? And for that, we pay God back with five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys? How ridiculous can you be? Why did God make me? To know him, to love him, and to serve him. To know him. We're spiritual people. Yes, indeed. We're wonderful spiritual people. Yes, indeed. And we want to give to God the best that we've got. Yes, indeed. We even sometimes speak of crucifixion. And we see crucifixion when we read the lives of the saints. We see it in pictures. We see it in various and sundry places, crucifixion. And we say, yes, I would be happy to be crucified, to together with my Savior. Yes, indeed. We say those things, don't we, from time to time. My beloved people, there can be no crucifixion if there is no blood. And there cannot be blood unless there are nails. Do not speak of crucifixion to God unless and until you are willing and able to suffer. And you must suffer greatly. Witness the suffering that you're going through, that I am going through, that these men right here, these two wonderful priests are going through, and others like us are going through, just for the sake of our blessed Lord. Oh, how disastrous it would be if all of this suffering would be for naught. How disastrous it would be if all the blood that you are spilling on this earth, if it would be for nothing. But the scene of the crucifixion, when you take away all of the barbarians, the scene of the crucifixion was that of peace. Why did God make me? We take our priests too lightly. Pardon me if I say this, but your priests are patriarchs in the fullest sense of the word. And your priests, we priests, are walking through a desert, and the sands are blistering hot, all for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we must pray that Almighty God, in His infinite mercy, my beloved people, will give us the grace to continue what we are doing in the most perfect possible way. You have brothers. You have sisters. You have wives. You have husbands. You have mothers, you have fathers, you have children. Why aren't they here tonight? Why do not they come and kneel in the presence of this blessed sacrament, which is to be exposed in a few minutes? Why is it, my beloved people, that they are not here? They no longer kneel in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. but for the grace of God, you too, and I, and your holy priests would not be here right now. The whole atmosphere started way back. What were the very first words that were ever spoken by any of God's creatures? I will not serve. And that's why our church is in the mess that it's in. Because we are all saying, I will not serve. Why can't we serve God? Why are we here? What is my purpose here? What am I to do? Unless and until this turning, we speak of it in the monastery as conversio. It's a very difficult word to translate. It's conversio morum. It's got various meanings, but it means, when you get right down to it in the activity of it, it simply means a turning to God. Is it simply a physical turning to God? Simply say, well, today I am not going to sin. Tomorrow I will not sin, and the day after that I won't sin. And I will say my rosary 3 times today and 5 times tomorrow. I will go to Mass every morning, etc., 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 and etc. Is that serving God? Not necessarily. Why do you say your rosary? Why do you avoid sin? Why do you go to Mass every morning or whenever? Why? Why did God make? I feel, from the bottom of my heart, that the face of God is more beautiful than the face of Satan. I believe that. I feel that. I want that. I desire that. I intend that. And that can only come from my interior self. I say the rosary not because I want to go around clacking the beads and letting everybody see that I'm saying the rosary and holding it up so everybody can see what I'm doing. You say the rosary inside of your hearts. We speak of orthodoxy. What is orthodoxy? Is it indeed what's coming from inside of my heart? Or is it what I would like for it to be? I, my beloved people, God does not like for us to play mind games with him. It's serious business. And until we get serious about it, we will not conquer. We hear tell here and we hear tell there. I have the pearl of great price. The other person says, no, he doesn't have the pearl of great price. I have the pearl of great price. And the third person says, neither one of them have it. I have it. Is it possible? I'm just asking a question. I've got no opinion. I'm merely asking a question. Is it possible
Is it possible that nobody's got it? I'm asking, who is there that Almighty God can see today amongst all of us, wherever we are, that is worthy to hold the pearl in his hands? Who is there? These are strong words. These are severe words. But unless in this city of God we come to a proper understanding of what it is, of what our purpose is inside that city, inside that place, inside those walls, until we come to a proper understanding, a proper comprehension, not know it. I don't care whether you know it or not, just comprehend it. And live it. Satan knows the scripture. He knows it better than any of us. He has the whole book memorized from cover to cover. He can tell you the page and the number and everything else you need to know about the Bible, about sacred scripture, about sacred revelation. Days, we shall be commemorating that very fact, that we shall not be here forever. And where do we go? Where do we go? Yes, unless and until we get inside of our hearts and start working from that place, what we do means nothing. Means nothing, my beloved people. During these 40 hours is a marvelous opportunity to gain grace. And during these 40 hours, let us work to gain that grace. But you have another job to do. Look at the desecration that the most beautiful Blessed Sacrament is undergoing in these days and time. Literally trampled underfoot. By whom? By whom? By whom? The people of his own. And the Blessed Sacrament is hardly more in too many places than what is normally sucked up into a vacuum cleaner. Our Blessed Sacrament, my beloved people, our Blessed Sacrament is no more than a cookie or a cracker, my beloved people. Our Blessed Sacrament is hardly more than what is put some in many places in the janitor's closet, my beloved people. And we get all tied up and tangled up in the confusion and the intricacies and the spaghetti telephone system and everything else about things that have nothing to do with the Blessed Sacrament. that our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the business is serious, and at a time like this in your dear church is a splendid opportunity for you to come into this house and to give your heart to God. But remember what I said a moment ago. When you give your heart to God, you have to rip it out. And when you rip it out, it will bleed. Are you willing to do that? I mean, really willing to do that. And this is what you are here for. No other reason. Why did God make me? To know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him, and to be with Him for all eternity. My precious, beloved,